Good health is a crown worn by the healthy that only the ill can see. Your health really is your wealth. Join us for the next hour as we explore disease and attaining and maintaining good health. This is Dis-Chem Medical Monday, brought to you by Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
And we are live. So welcome to Monday. I'm sure you've already been welcomed to Monday, and it's just gone 8 minutes past 10. You're listening to 101.9 High FM. It's the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show, and I've got a fantastic guest back in studio, and that's Dr. Nigel Plummer. He's a microbiologist and an expert in the field of probiotics, and he's also the owner of Proven. We're going to be chatting about how effective Proven is in treating stomach pain and things like diarrhea. We're going to be also focusing on the history of Proven. So let us have your questions on the studio number. That's WhatsApp 061-895-1019. We're actually transmitting to you remotely. So I'm out of the studio at the moment in another location. Dr. Plummer, you're in London, right? Or the UK, sorry.
I'm in the UK in South Wales, yes.
Oh, brilliant. Okay. Well, the Welsh team did really well at World Champs now, and we'll chat a little bit about that. They made a great deal of noise, which is fantastic. So we'll be chatting to you about probiotics and about Proven. Right now, let's go to an ad break. Let us have your questions on the WhatsApp number, and we'll be back with you after these ads.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
And you are listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show here on 101.9 High FM. I'm joined by Dr. Nigel Plummer. He's a microbiologist and an expert in the field of probiotics and the owner of Proven. Dr. Plummer, I have to say that, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you back. Can you tell us a little bit of your background for those who haven't heard you on the show yet? And then we'll get into the effectiveness of Proven and why probiotics are so important.
Yes. Good morning, Nicholas. Good morning, everybody. Well, I go back, I suppose, quite a long way. I started my career at the big pharmaceutical company, Pfizer. And I stayed there for a number of years, but then wanted to set up my own company and develop this interest in probiotics and what we call our microbiome, which is this fantastic, complex, beautiful, and incredibly functional community of bacteria that we have living in our gut and on our skin and in our respiratory tract. And we have this community of bacteria from the day that we're born until the day that we die. And they're kind of collectively that what we call our human microbiome now is seen as being almost like another organ, like our liver and our kidneys. It's that functional, and it has actions, this community of bacteria. It seems difficult to believe that there's this massive community of bacteria, but it lives mainly in our gut, and it has connections to most of our physiology. To give a kind of quantifiable sort of context to this, this microbiome, this community of living bacteria, weighs about a kilo. So it's about the same as your liver. And as I say, it's there from the day that you're born until the day that you die. It develops soon after birth, and it's incredibly functional. And it has impact upon our immune system, our hormonal system, our metabolic system, our brain, all of these areas, our physiology, all of these areas are affected by our microbiome. And then probiotics, if you think, okay, we've got a very complex community of bacteria here, which is called our microbiome. Well, what are probiotics? Well, which is a question that a lot of people ask. Well, all the probiotics are, in a nutshell, is what we identify is what we consider to be the most beneficial members of this incredibly complex community that we call our microbiome, which consists of over 1,000 different species of bacteria. So it's incredibly complex, like a big zoo. And what we do is we select what we consider to be the most beneficial ones, and we isolate them and we purify them. And with a probiotic, we simply put them back, typically in greater numbers than are there already, to exert even greater benefits. So we take the most beneficial members of our microbiota, what we feel are the most beneficial members of our microbiota, take them out, purify them, and then put them back via our probiotic in bigger numbers to hopefully exert an even greater benefit. And what is we've been finding over the last, I suppose, 25 years since probiotics started to become known and recognized, if you like, within the sort of dietary supplement arena, that with all of the research that's been done, that it actually works, that by putting probiotics back in greater numbers, these good bacteria back in greater numbers than are there, we do see greater benefits. And we see effects now on all types of conditions, not only conditions that are related to our intestinal tract, but conditions that are related to other parts of our physiology, in the brain, for instance, our liver, our immune system, metabolic system. All of these are affected by our microbiome, and hence the proxies for our microbiome, probiotics.
Right. And I experienced that firsthand based on what we were chatting about when we first spoke on the Disco Medical Monday, having just come back now from Sun City and having done nearly 2 weeks of 18 hours a day with very poor food. Having taken my Proven probiotics and having felt fine and actually seen some people around me getting a little bit under the weather, getting ill, coming back and getting ill. And with my dietary requirements, because I don't eat non-kosher meat, I was pretty much eating wheat and gluten, which is also not something I enjoy. But I mean, how does probiotics affect that? I just wanted to touch on that before we go into sort of the stomach pain and the diarrhea aspect of it.
Well, probiotics have an impact in terms of it's the major effect on the intestinal tract is that whatever condition you might have, and whatever if your tendency to have a bit of diarrhea or your tendency to be a bit constipated, it will regulate that. Which is why probiotics have been found to be so useful across, if you like, the whole community. So if you tend to have a little bit of diarrhea, you tend to have some loose stools, not necessarily explosive diarrhea or infectious diarrhea, but just runny stools fairly frequently, or you tend to have constipation. So you tend to be constipated. This is a very common condition that people have, tend to be constipated in a diet like you were having, where you've got gluten,
horrendous,
a lot of gluten, not very much fruit and veg, et cetera, highly processed foods, that tends to lead to constipation. So probiotics have a regulatory effect. So if you have a bit of constipation or you have constipation, then probiotics will tend to bring that back to normal, so normal bowel movement. Likewise, if you have a tendency to diarrhea, then the probiotics will bring that back to, again, normal bowel movement. So it's and we see this all of the time, because you see, so one of the things that we and coming on to the kind of pain aspect, one of the major trials that we've been doing, and we've done now three of these trials, is on IBS, so irritable bowel syndrome, where this is characterized, first of all, let's go back. It's the most common intestinal condition that we have, it affects between 10 and 15% of our population, the adult population, at any one time. The severity can be variable. So some people, they have a little bit of mild pain, intermittent pain, a little bit of diarrhea, a little bit of constipation. And then you have the much more severe, where somebody has severe pain, very regular pain, and either very diarrhea or very intense constipation. And often it oscillates. So you got periods of diarrhea followed by periods of constipation. And that means that the person can't predict or forecast their bowel movements, which means that they feel nervous about going out, for instance, because they might get caught short, and really impacts their quality of life and so on and so forth. So, probiotics, coming back to the point, what we found in our trials is that probiotics relieve all of those symptoms. So if you have intermittent pain, intermittent pain, the frequency of pain is reduced. The severity of pain is decreased. If you have a tendency to, as I said earlier on, tendency to diarrhea, it will normalize. A tendency to constipation, it will normalize. So it normalizes and reduces all of the symptoms of IBS. And as I say, IBS now, I'm sure that amongst your listeners, the types of symptoms, bloating is probably the mm-hmm. biggest symptom of IBS that particularly women experience. And IBS is dominated by females' type of condition. And it's something like 70% of sufferers are female rather than male. So it's a syndrome rather than a disease. So you can't have a blood,
right.
You can't measure it in the blood. It's one of those things, but it's very, very common now. And we're beginning to understand where this might have come from. Because if you think, well, 70 years ago, did we have IBS? And the answer is probably no, but we have a good idea of where it might be coming from now.
So, Doc, I want to touch on that as soon as we get back from these ads, because it's something that I've experienced myself. And just in listening to you, it's made me realize something that I'd like to share after this advert. Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics for Adults offer convenient and professional care to help you manage health risks. Whether you're having your regular wellness checks, such as blood pressure or cholesterol, Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics offer you a broad range of health screening services, including female health screening with pap smears, family planning, pregnancy screening. Fast, affordable, and with care, find your nearest Dis-Chem Wellness Clinic inside Dis-Chem Pharmacies. Better health starts here.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
So, Doc, just before we went to the ad break, we were chatting about IBS and sort of that relation to probiotics and gut health. I grew up with what was called a spastic colon and then IBS, and it was absolutely debilitating, particularly over the festival of Passover when there was matzah and that hard, and it was so painful I couldn't actually leave the house. And what I was prescribed was, I think it was called Royal Fiber. It was a fiber mix that was supposed to help open up the gut. And just in our talking now, what I've realized is that nothing actually helped until I was put on a course of probiotics, and I've only had one flare-up since then. So how does the probiotics help with the IBS? What are the mechanics behind that?
Well, first of all, that's interesting, Nicholas, because I mean, I remember going back many years, and IBS used to be referred as spastic colon. It used to be referred as spastic colon, and it's the syndrome has been expanded now, it contains other types of related condition. But yes, I remember the term spastic colon. It used to be, that was IBS. Okay. What we're beginning to understand now is that IBS, this condition, seems to have become much more common in the last sort of 50, 60, 70 years, and particularly in the last 30 years or so. And what it's seen as being related to is an imbalance in our microbiome that I was talking about earlier on, where you have, so for instance, to give you again a bit of context to that. So some of the beneficial microbes, the type of beneficial microbes we see in probiotics are called lactic acid bacteria. They, when they eat and they grow, they only produce acid And it's mild acid. It's not like a, mm-hmm. it's not like nitric acid or hydrochloric acid. It's a mild acid. It's lactic acid. But other organisms like coliforms, E. coli, and organisms like a thing called Klebsiella produce gas as well. And right. what we find is that IBS, that people who have IBS have a lower level of these good bacteria. So the lactobacilli and the bifidobacteria, the type that are in probiotics. And they have a much higher level of these less desirable types, these undesirable types like coliform, like E. coli, and say Klebsiella and other organisms like this, Staphylococci. And mm-hmm. these organisms produce gas. And so what an overgrowth of these organisms produce, because they're producing gas, that gives this bloating effect. And if you take probiotics and you dominate, so you overgrow those undesirable types with your probiotic organisms, then those undesirable types are suppressed, their population is suppressed, and that means they produce less gas. It means that you have less bloating and less pain, because a lot of the pain that you experience in IBS comes from bloating. And right. if you think that gas production, that a lot of that gas production is in the last part of the small intestine, and it can't go anywhere. Because there's a sphincter between your small intestine and your large intestine, which is like a valve, and it stops. It's mainly closed, and it stops that gas that is being produced in the small intestine, being, if you like, released into the large intestine, into the colon. When the gas is in the colon, then it's got a way out, and we all know that it's got a way out. But when it's in the small intestine, that causes pain. Now,
okay.
So if we understand that the IBS type symptoms, the pain, the bloating, the diarrhea, the constipation, is caused by an imbalance of our microbiome, by these gas producing organisms. How has that imbalance come about? And what we understand now is that has been due to largely the use of antibiotics. And okay. the more antibiotics that you take, so the more courses of antibiotics you take in your lifetime, the more likely it is that the antibiotics will produce this overgrowth, this imbalance, and will lead to IBS type symptoms. Now, what people think is, well, you know, my symptoms weren't related to antibiotic use. So you might have somebody who takes, let's say, a couple of courses of antibiotics, and then maybe 12 weeks later, they start to feel symptoms of IBS. And because they've taken the antibiotics 3 months ago or 2 to 3 months ago, they don't relate it as being, they don't see it as being related, but it is. But it takes time for this overgrowth to express itself in terms of these physiological symptoms. So what we're understanding is that this IBS type of syndrome is typically and largely created by the use of antibiotics. And remember, antibiotics are great. I mean, I used to work in the antibiotic industry. Antibiotics are fantastic. As I mentioned, I think, in the last show, they, without doubt, are the most beneficial advance in human healthcare in the 20th century in terms of number of lives saved, number of suffering mm-hmm. that's been reduced, or the amount of suffering reduced by the use of antibiotics. And they're second to none. But they do have some disadvantages. And the disadvantages they have is that they cause disturbance, and quite dramatic disturbance, to our microbiome. And that then affects other things. And so we see other things are related to increased use of antibiotics. So in children, for instance, high use of antibiotics increases risk of obesity. High use of antibiotics reduces, increases the risk of allergies. These are all related to antibiotic use. And the reason is the impact that it has on our microbiome. So that's I suppose that's a kind of a sort of circular thing. We have this IBS problem. It affects a very high level of people. We know now that this is connected to antibiotic use. And the more antibiotics that you take, the more likely it is that you'll have, or you'll develop IBS type problems. I suppose one of the things then is you say, okay, fine, is there a way of actually preventing that? And that is one of the if like the key areas where everybody should take a probiotic is when they're taking an antibiotic. If you don't take a probiotic at any other point in your lifetime, you should always take a probiotic alongside your course of antibiotics. And just that should be it, preferably before you take the antibiotics for a few days, you take the probiotics also while you're taking the antibiotic, and then also following the use of the antibiotic. When you finish the course of antibiotics, continue to take the probiotic. So the probiotic should be taken for 30 days, if you like, alongside the use of the antibiotics. There might only be 7 days, but you take the probiotic to sort of cover that period during and following the use of the antibiotic.
And that leads me into the question of why would you not take a probiotic?
Well, I think that there's a question that a lot of people ask, and what it sort of boils down to is, well, what is the evidence of consistent and profound effect? And where so she said, well, you know, are you asking me to take a probiotic every day, even though I'm perfectly healthy? So let's count down some of the areas where I think it's really essential to take a probiotic. So I mentioned one alongside antibiotics. That is absolutely key. And obviously, you know, from somebody like from a group like Dischem, they're dispensing antibiotics, and so it's a perfect kind of partner, if you like. The pharmacist dispenses the antibiotic, he dispenses the probiotic as well. So taking antibiotics. The second one, in my opinion, is that probiotics should be given to babies, all babies, but particularly babies born by C-section. And South Africa has a high C-section rate now, around about 30%. 30% of all babies are born by C-section now. All babies, I think, should be given probiotics. We showed that by giving probiotics to newborn babies and to the pregnant mothers, but mainly the effect was by giving to newborn babies for a period of 6 months, we halved their risk of developing allergy. And I mean true allergies now. So we're looking at atopic eczema, we're looking at asthma, and we're looking at rhinitis, so hay fever. So we halved that person's risk of developing any type of allergy. And that's a lifelong effect. And that is simply by taking a probiotic for the first 6 months of life. And the one thing I would say there, in terms of prevention of allergy, there's no drug that has been found that has that impact. Sometimes when you're looking at, let's say, a dietary supplement, what the dietary supplement does typically is does something, but there is a drug available that will either do it better or more consistently or faster or but in this case, there isn't a drug that can reduce your risk of developing allergy, but probiotics can. So that'd be number two. The third one that I would say is that we have found now in both children and in adults, in healthy children and in healthy adults, that by giving probiotics, that you can reduce their risk of upper respiratory tract infections, so colds and flu. So during the winter time, for instance, what we've seen is that we can reduce colds and flu in kids by 30%. So the incidence by 30% and the severity by up to 50%. And if you think, okay, this sounds a bit sort of, you know, from the consumer's point of view, it's well, okay, it reduces coughs and colds, but we also measured some kind of non-medical effects of that or impacts of that. So in our trial on kids, we measured absenteeism from school, and we reduced absenteeism from school by taking the probiotics by 33%. Now,
wow,
we got a lot of media coverage of that in the UK, because that kind of thing makes parents kind of prick their ears up a little bit, because they go, oh, yeah, reduces coughs and colds. I've heard that all before. but then reduces absenteeism from school by 33%. Well, okay, well, when my kids are absent from school, it means I have to take time off work, or my husband has to take time off work, or I have to give the kids to the grandparents. But it interrupts things. So reducing absenteeism. We also reduced visits to the doctor by 30%. So there's a story here that because you're giving probiotics, you're making the children who are already healthy, you're making them more healthy. And by making them more healthy, they don't have to go to the doctor as much. They don't have any other, they have less type of other medication. And their absenteeism from school is less, which I think is an important thing. So that one is almost like, well, it's kind of, I think that is essential. If it was me, I'd put all kids on a probiotic, on our probiotic, because our one is the one that has been shown in two clinical trials to actually do this. But I would put all kids on a probiotic, specifically during the winter period, because you're going to have because the level of coughs and colds are higher in that during that time, but all year round. So that'll be the next one, and then. And we kind of go on and on because the more that we've researched in probiotics, the more that we find. I might have mentioned on the last show that we've done now 4 or 5 clinical trials on endurance athletes. So again, these are healthy people, and in all of these trials, we found an impact in improving performance in endurance athletes. So if I was an endurance athlete, and you know, not just the elite, but the weekend warrior who's doing his 10K or is doing his half marathon. I mean, he will feel better. He'll want to train harder, and he'll see a better result. Coming back to the health conditions. As I say, if you've got any type of intestinal problem, like we've been speaking about IBS earlier on, but if you've got any other type of intestinal problem, God forbid that you have something like inflammatory bowel disease, so Crohn's disease. Mm-hmm. But for these severe diseases, so inflammatory bowel disease, Crohn's disease, or ulcerative colitis, it's been shown that probiotics have a positive effect. It's not necessarily going to cure you of your Crohn's disease, but it will reduce the severity of the symptoms. It will prolong remission of those, and if you like, have an extended time before you have, let's say, a relapse. Like you, Nicholas, when you're spastic colon, you're in remission now and have been seemingly for many, many years.
Yes.
So in all of these cases, I think probiotics can have an impact, and then let's come back to probiotics again, and specifically look at females, because females, women, typically when they take an antibiotic, they have all of the problems associated with the gut that we use from antibiotic use, but they also have urinary tract issues very often resulting from the use of antibiotics. So they tend to have a much higher frequency of developing candidiasis or thrush following the use of antibiotics. Probiotics can have a significant impact in reducing this risk as well. So I suppose I'm kind of patchwork here, giving you areas and reasons right. why people should take probiotics. I suppose, in a sense, if you add all of those things up, I'm kind of saying, well, you know, for most people, it's beneficial to take a probiotic every day. And I think that's what we're progressing to.
Yes.
But probably it is. There's benefits, multiple benefits to taking probiotics. And so there's benefits to taking probiotics for everybody every day.
I think, Doc, and you being very, very humble with this as well, because I would say it's for everybody every day. And I've seen for myself, you know, I'm 53 years old, and I was doing live commentary for two internationals, that competitions that were running simultaneously. So it meant 18 hours, no break. I could literally hand off the microphone and run to the bathroom. I was missing food. I was under huge pressure, particularly mentally. And if it wasn't, I think, as we spoke about in the last conversation, the correlation between your cognitive function, your respiratory function, your lungs, and your gut, how important that is. I want to touch on that a little bit when we come back, but I'd also like to, we have a few questions from our listeners, and I also want to get a little bit of the history of Proven, how the company came about, and how you've evolved it. So if we can do that after our ad break, I'd love to, Doc.
Sure. Great.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
And you're listening to 101.9 Chai FM. It's just gone 10:43 on Monday, and it's the Dis-Chem Medical Monday show. I'm joined by Dr. Nigel Plummer. He's a microbiologist and an expert in the field of probiotics, and the owner of Proven. And Doc, you've been incredibly generous with your time and what you've shared. What I'd like to know is a little bit more about Proven. What's the history of the company? How did it come about? You mentioned you started off at a large pharmaceutical. What was your, even working in antibiotics, how did you go from there to here?
Okay, well, yeah, so I worked at Pfizer. I suppose Pfizer was one of the biggest pharmaceutical company in the world. I think it probably still is. I was working on antibiotics, and there was always a saying at Pfizer that if you were there for 4 years, you were there forever. And that's like a lot of multinational companies. I mean, and for all of the good reasons, but I really didn't want to be working on antibiotics for the rest of my life. So, and I had, as I say, ambitions to start my own company, and I also had I was incredibly interested in this concept of these microorganisms that colonized at birth, and then had such an impact on the development of our immune system, not just in humans and human babies and infants, but in animals as well. And so the first probiotics that we made, I left Pfizer and started my own company, and we made probiotics for young animals, so young calves, young lambs, and young pigs, and it was to prevent them getting diarrhea, which is very debilitating for these young animals, and deadly. And in fact, we made these probiotics, and they worked. And they worked well in terms of preventing diarrhea, this very infectious, nasty diarrhea, deadly diarrhea in these young animals. So we thought, well, if this is something that is effective in animals, then let's look at humans as well. Not in the same way, because we're not challenged in the same way in terms of young life diarrhea. Well, I suppose we are in some underdeveloped nations in the world, but in developed nations in the world, we're not challenged as much. But we were interested in the whole concept of how beneficial our microbiome could be. And as I say, then we've been on a journey, not just us, but the whole world has kind of realized the impact of our microbiome on our health and probiotics on our health. And so we then started to say, okay, fine, let's look at probiotics for humans. We started our first probiotic for humans. So we isolated the human strains, because that was important, that we have strains for the host. Mm-hmm. So rather than at that point, this is back in 1990. So probiotics were made from yogurt strains and from animal mm-hmm. strains rather than human intestinal strains. So we isolated our strains from human intestine and cultivated these as they were the best strains. And then we started to do clinical trials on these, and we started to find that these probiotics worked for things like IBS, for things like coughs and colds, in lots of different areas. Antibiotic associated diarrhea. So when you say and antibiotics, you often get antibiotic associated diarrhea. Mm-hmm. One, the most intense type of diarrhea, the most dangerous type of diarrhea, by a thing called Clostridium difficile. We showed, which is very prevalent in, or is a very dangerous organism in hospitalized patients, can cause death, particularly in elderly patients. And we showed that by using our proven probiotic, for instance, that you could prevent antibiotic-associated diarrhea caused by Clostridium difficile. And we know that that is a deadly organism. So that was great. And we started, as well as doing lots of clinical trials, we then started to manufacture and go into production of our probiotics. First of all, we made probiotics for other people. So for people like your listeners may have heard of Boots in the UK, which mm-hmm. is a big pharmacy chain in the UK. They may have heard of that. People like GNC in the USA. We make all of their probiotics. And then in 2009, we launched our own brand, Proven, because we thought, well, if we're making these great probiotics for other people, we may as well make them for ourselves. And so we launched Proven. And since that time, Proven, we've now published 36 clinical trials. Sure. We've published over 100 original scientific articles. And Proven and the probiotic strains that are in Proven now, what we can say is that they have the widest range of clinical benefits of any probiotic globally. So the widest range of clinical benefits of any probiotics globally. Sure. And I can rattle through some of those now. So we've shown that this same group of bacteria that we use in Proven probiotics. So we can prevent allergy in newborn babies. We can prevent coughs and colds and reduce the level of coughs and colds in kids. We can prevent antibiotic-associated diarrhea. We can reduce IBS. We can improve the immune system in adults and in children. We can reduce weight in adults. We can reduce symptoms of irritable bowel syndrome. We can, I'm thinking of some others. We can reduce
cognitive function.
And we can improve cognitive function, reduce anxiety, and improve athletic mm-hmm. performance. All of these are proven by clinical trials, and all of them from the same group of organisms that we have in sure. our Proven probiotic brand.
Absolutely phenomenal. And we have a couple of questions which I'd like to get to after the ad break. But the one thing just before we go to ad that you touched on, which I think is so important, diarrhea sort of in the Western world, in the modern world, isn't really a big killer. But in poorer countries, it is. So should institutions or government organizations that look at supporting these challenged communities not also be looking at probiotics as a way of preventing sort of, you know, the very serious life-threatening diarrhea? So we'll touch on that quickly as soon as we're back from our ad break, and then we'll go to listener questions. Thank you, Doctor.
This is Medical Monday, brought to you with the compliments of Dis-Chem. Better health starts here.
And we are chatting to Dr. Nigel Plummer. He's a microbiologist and an expert in the field of probiotics and the owner of Proven. We've been chatting probiotics, everything from IBS, spastic colon, to diarrhea, to the incredible benefits. Doc, just as we wrap up, we don't have a lot of time. And I always go, you know, I was chatting to Kathy to say, come on, can't I get 2 hours for the show? So then we could chat about this so much. We got some great questions from our listeners. I'm going to go through them, and then if we could just jump into the answers. Sure. Please ask your guest what he thinks of GI MAP. Thanks. Gastrointestinal MAP, whether it's worth doing for chronic diarrhea. Question one. Question two, when should one take a probiotic? I take one at night on my way to bed, as well as I heard you should take it on an empty stomach. That's from Carol K. And do we take probiotics an hour, the antibiotic an hour before the probiotic?
The GI map. I think what the person is referring to there is these GI tract tests. So it's like a comprehensive sort of stool test. I think that they are very good in terms of everything except for the measurement of the microbiome. So we do microbiome. So if they're measuring things like enzymes levels, acid levels, certain cancer markers, and so on and so forth, then these tests are very good. In terms of interpreting the nature and the pattern of the microbiome, these tests are not particularly good. And it's because the microbiome is so incredibly complex. When we when we analyze this, I mean, it takes an awful lot of time. It's very expensive. And because to get any kind of fix on what is happening is difficult because the microbiome is so incredibly complex. So the answer to that is, if that person is looking at this test to get, if you like, a pattern and an interpretation of their microbiome, I probably wouldn't bother too much. They're also very expensive, like $300, $400. So not sure what that is in Rand, but it's a lot.
It's about 800 billion Rand. Okay.
but if they're looking for other things, let's say like cancer markers, intestinal permeability markers, then yes, these tests are valuable. On the second point, which I think was the, when do we take a probiotic, and whether it should be on an empty stomach. It doesn't matter when you actually take it. You can take it morning or afternoon or in the evening, but it is very, very important that you take the probiotic with some food, not on an empty stomach. That's exactly the time that you shouldn't be taking a probiotic. And the reason being is that the empty stomach is very acidic, very, very acidic. It's got a pH of about 1.8 and it's hydrochloric acid. And that the empty stomach is bathed in hydrochloric acid. And the whole point of that is it performs a bactericidal barrier. So it stops entry of bacteria from, if you like, from the mouth going into into the intestinal tract. And so if you give a probiotic to the empty stomach, it's going to kill it. Now, the way of preventing this is just take a little bit of food, because the food neutralizes the stomach acidity, so that the pH goes from 1.8 to about 4, and these organisms, probiotic organisms, are perfectly comfortable with pH of 4. So the story is always take a probiotic with a meal, just a little bit of food, not on an empty stomach. And the final one was antibiotics. And that's absolutely correct. For the similar reason, you shouldn't take an antibiotic and a probiotic at exactly the same time. So if you're taking a course of antibiotics, if you're taking the antibiotic morning and evening, you take the probiotic lunchtime, or at least 2 hours away from the antibiotic.
Fantastic, Doctor. Thank you so much. That's Dr. Nigel Plummer, microbiologist, expert in the field of probiotics and owner of Proven. You've been listening to the Dis-Chem Medical Monday on 101.9 High FM. I'm Nicholas Ingle. Thank you for joining me.